You see, if I put up a defense and I say, I'm not going to forgive you, and this wall goes up, guess who would imprison?
Hello. Me.
See, not him. It imprisons you. Forgiveness is a gift to keep you free from the past.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, a message on unforgiveness. But today, Pastor Wayne will show us not just the devastating effects of unforgiveness, but the freedom that comes when there is genuine forgiveness. If you are struggling in this area, if you say, I can forgive, but I'll never forget, this message has your name written all over it. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message entitled, Absalom, a Case of Unforgiveness.
Now, another thing that we need to know about unforgiveness is this. When an occurrence takes place and I cannot forgive, I can't get away from that. I'm always thinking about it. I'm drawn to it. Here's what unforgiveness does. It imprisons you to the past. Did you write that in, number two? It imprisons you to the past. Because when something happens, whether it's perceived wrong or it was indeed wrong, an injustice, or just a perceived injustice, nevertheless, if you don't forgive and give forgiveness, then what happens? It imprisons you to the past. You want to hear my worst dream in my whole life? Here's the worst dreams I have, is when a monster is chasing me in my dreams, and I'm running away from this monster, but all of a sudden my body goes into slow motion. Isn't that right? How many of you have those same kind of dreams? Yeah, you're just as paranoid as I am. Don't laugh at me. We're all psychotic here. And so I'm trying to run, and my feet just won't move. Ah, I just hate that. And I get up from the bed, and I'm just cold sweat. I think that's the worst dreams in the world. But you know, that's exactly what unforgiveness is. Unforgiveness does not allow you to get away from the monster that's biting at your heels. It imprisons you to the past and won't let you go. And until this past looms up like this huge monster and everything doesn't work, it imprisons you to the past. That's what Matthew 18 said. There's a king that forgave one of his subjects. His subjects, however, in turn, refused to forgive someone else. The king heard about it and said, I forgave you, didn't I? Why didn't you just pass it on? And because of that, here's what happened. Let's read. Ready? Go. Then the angry king sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart. You see, what God is saying is, if I don't forgive, it doesn't imprison the person who offended me. It imprisons who? Me. You see, if I put up a defense and I say, I'm not going to forgive you, you messed me up. So there, and this wall goes up. The only problem is, guess who would imprison? Guess who's behind the bars?
Hello. Me.
See, not him. It imprisons you. Let me tell you what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is a gift to keep you free from the past so that you can move forward. Otherwise, it imprisons you to the past. Forgiveness cuts that line and sets you free. Forgiveness is a gift for you, not necessarily for them. Yeah, but Wayne, you just don't know what happened. That's hard to forgive. I can't get that out of my mind. You see, real resentment is you keep bringing that thing to your mind. That's what imprisons you. It's resento. Resentment, re-feeling the pain of that past betrayal or cut or whatever it would be, the wound. And it's a self-inflicted thing because I remember, I remember what he did. Yeah, no. Ooh, ouch. Ooh, ah. And then Everything is fresh. The wounds become fresh, and I can't get away from that. And I bring it up again and again. Wayne, I can't forget that. Yeah, you can. What do you mean I can forget? Yeah, you can forget. Just stop bringing it up. Stop thinking about it. Stop rehearsing it in your mind. But I can't. Yes, you can. Why do you say I can't? Because you can forget because God forgets. What do you mean God forgets? Absolutely. That's what Jeremiah says. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Would you underline that? Did you know that God intentionally forgets? You see, when it comes to this kind of forgetting, forgetfulness in God's eyes, when it comes to forgetting people's sins or not bringing it up is a better way of saying it, that kind of forgetting is not a result of old age. It's not a result of Alzheimer's. It's not a result of dementia. This kind of forgetting that God's talking about is a purposeful, intentional forgetting. Because see, sometimes we say, well, the memories are still there. Well, intentionally forget them. That's denial. No, it's not. That's a part of your inheritance. God's given you the power to quit bringing it up and cutting yourself again and again and again and then blaming it on that person. I think one of the neatest letters that I've read was written by a very creative writer named Ralph Waldo Emerson. It was a time when his daughter was in college away from home, and in some correspondence with her now famous father, she had made it clear to him that she was brooding over a past situation that had left her really struggling with unforgiveness. Listen to his reply. My dear, he says, finish every day and be done with it. You've done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in, but get rid of them and forget them as soon as you can. For tomorrow is a new day, and you should never encumber tomorrow's potential with the dread of yesterday. Don't you dare waste one moment of today on the rottenness of yesterday. Isn't that good? Her name was Arlene Larson. She was a year ahead of Anna and me in Bible college. Chronologically, she was about 10 years older, but she was in our Bible college. And now I was just 3 months old in the Lord when I went to Bible college, just this local boy. And I had just become a Christian, but felt God had called me into the ministry full time. So I entered Bible college. I don't know any better, but this Arlene Larson, wonderful girl. She was studying to be a missionary, the kindest lady you've ever met. But I noticed tiny scars all over her face, and one of her nostrils was a little disfigured because of some scarring, and all on her neck area up here. And so she never talked about it. No one dared ask her what all that was from, but I don't know better. So I went up to her, I said, excuse me, Arlene. Some ugly, but those scars, no? No. I said, how'd you get all those scars all over? And she smiled, a little twinkle in her eye. She said, I don't talk about it too much. It's part of my past. And I said, well, tell me. She, knowing that I was different, said, okay. And she conceded. And so she said, yeah, I'll tell you. And what she told me, I mean, it just, wow. It left me stunned. She related to me and she said, you know, I was married about 10, 12 years ago. And she said, I married a man who had a very deep-seated anger problem that would vent itself vehemently every time he would drink. And we had gotten into some spats. And one day, he had been drinking quite a bit. When he came home, we got into a little spat, and it was as if he took the lid off of a cesspool and vented his deepest angers and hurts from his past, to the point where he went to the kitchen and grabbed a kitchen knife out of the drawer. And he stabbed me 27 times in my face and in my shoulders. He left me to die in a pool of blood. If it weren't for my screams that were heard by the neighbors, I would be dead today. I said, "You're kidding." I said, "What happened after that?" She said, "It took me 8 months in the hospital to recuperate from these stab wounds, and another 2 years to recuperate from the emotional wounds that went deeper than the blade." She said, "But then I became a Christian." I said, "Oh, lucky, because you whack him, no?" She said, "Well, he's in prison now for attempted murder." But she said, "But that's in the past. And when Christ came, something happened in my life." And I said, "But aren't you mad at him?" And then she said this. She said, "Wayne, not really, because you see, I decided this. He took one night of my life away from me. And I've decided to not give him a second more." You see, what unforgiveness does is you get wounded, and even though you move away, if there's unforgiveness, your life continues to drain. Especially each time you bring that memory up. See, what unforgiveness does is it keeps draining your life even after the event's completed. For years later, your life is still draining. Let me tell you the precious gift of forgiveness. Here it is, listen carefully. The precious gift of forgiveness cuts that and restores your life back to you. What a gift! You see, forgiveness is not a gift for them. Forgiveness is a gift for you, so that it will restore God's future back to you. God's life, God's promises will all be restored back to you through forgiveness. And how the devil would love to deceive you and say, "He's not worthy of your forgiveness. He didn't request forgiveness, so don't give it to him." And see, so we withhold it. And in doing so, our life continues to drain and we bleed to death. And it weakens us in other future activities and relationships. The devil knows that. That's why he's so subtle. That's why he's so insidious. And that's why unforgiveness is such a big deal. But you see, if you want God's best in your life and you want to move forward into all that God has for you, then forgiveness is a non-negotiable. Well, let's get back to Absalom and Days of Our Lives. Well, let me tell you the most infectious part about unforgiveness now. He comes back, and after he talks to all these people and pulls their devotion and respect away from King David, he amasses for himself enough of a following that he plans a coup to take over the throne and kill his father. David hears about this plot, and he and his entourage slip out at night and leave the city to get away from the bitterness of his own son Absalom. And he tells his wives, his concubines, "Stay here because he's after me, not after you. And so when it's all settled, we'll come back." But they leave, and Absalom hears about it, and he runs after his father and tries to kill him, looking for him, but he can't find him. Absalom comes back into town, and here's when it goes really vile. Absalom proclaims himself king, that he has now banished his father. He is now the new king, and just so that you know, Israel, just so that you know that I am the king of the roost, I am the head cheese, I'm in control, he sets up a tent on the rooftop of the house or the palace, puts his father's wives in the tent, makes it a brothel, goes in and sexually violates every single one of them to let Israel know that I'm in control. Isn't that sick? And when I read that, I wrote in the margin of my Bible, because of Absalom's unforgiveness for Amnon, who raped his sister long ago, because of his unforgiveness for Amnon, he became just like the one he couldn't forgive. Amnon rapes his sister and he's incensed about it. He can't forgive, and guess what happened? It morphed him and it mutated his character until he became just like Amnon, only worse. Now he rapes not one, but all of his father's wives. You see, that's one of the most treacherous things and the most infectious things about unforgiveness. Here it is. Listen very carefully. It makes you become just like the one you can't forgive. It makes you just like the one that you can't forgive. Remember when he was mad at his father David for banishing him from Jerusalem? Remember that? He was mad for 3 years, you banished me. So he comes back and he sabotages his father's reputation. Now, guess what he does? The very thing he was upset at his father for having done, now he does. He banishes his father. He was mad at Amnon for raping his sister. Now he rapes all of David's wives. And I wrote, you have become just like the one you can't forgive. See, that's the treachery of unforgiveness. Isn't it true? You have a supervisor that you don't like. Maybe that supervisor doesn't have compassion for you, doesn't support you, doesn't speak well of you. So you get mad and you can't let that go. So you tell someone else, I can't believe him. He doesn't give a rip about me. He doesn't care. He talks about me. He has no compassion, no support for me. Man, that's it, man. He's going to come around here. Let's just snub him. Let him know what we think. And well, wait a minute. I thought you just said that he spoke poorly of you. That's right. Ah, what are you doing right now?
Speaking the same about him.
Oh. And I thought you just said he doesn't care about you. That's right. And you? I don't give a rip about him. Ah, so he doesn't support you? No. So I'm not going to support him. Ah, so unforgiveness now has made you just like the one you can't forgive. You're exactly like him. The only difference is you are blind to it. It's funny what unforgiveness does. It's so treacherous that if you're not careful, it makes you become just like the one you can't forgive. Let's read about this lack of grace that when I can't forgive, let's see what happens to us. Let's read it. Hebrews 12:15 in the English version. Ready? Go. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up and causes many troubles with its poisons. Let's read the next one. And don't hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. Would you underline that? Don't get infected. And the English version says, you might learn their habits and not be able to change. You see, the most infectious thing about unforgiveness is that unforgiveness has a gravitational pull to it. And when I can't forgive, it pulls me. It pulls me to become just like the one I can't forgive. And I begin to morph into someone that I don't want to be. And that's exactly what happened to Absalom. Now, his story ends tragically, that David finally does come back and one of his generals kills Absalom. And it's such a sad ending. But it's a classic case of unforgiveness. It all came to realization with me as I was driving down the street one day in Hilo. And there had been a person that had wounded me pretty deeply and was spreading things about the church. And we asked him to not do that, and he kept doing it even the more. Funny, it wasn't something that I did. It was just something that he thought I should do. And because I didn't, then he would come against me. And people would say, hey, I'm going to go try that church there called New Hope. No, you don't want to go there. It's a bad church. No, and the guy up there, that Portuguese pastor, he's nuts, man. He's nuts. Really? Yeah. And so pretty soon people would stop coming. And I thought, what is going on? And then I realized it was going on. And I remember one day I was driving down the street and I began to think or remember. And with each remembrance, I'd feel again the pain, resentment. And my resentment began to grow with each white line that passed as I drove. And I think about this guy, and I just get so incensed and mad. And have you ever had, like, God just show up in the car? God showed up, and he said to me, Wayne, you've become just like that man. And I thought, no way. I'm not like him. God said, you're just like him. I said, no, I'm not. He said, you're slandering him, and you're sabotaging his reputation. Well, I'm not, here's my argument. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying that in my heart and my mind. And this is what God said. Well, you know, it's out of the heart that comes evil thoughts and slanders and fornications and murders. Because when you're saying these things about him in your heart, what you're doing is you're cocking all the triggers of all the guns. You're setting all the chambers full of ammunition in your heart. And there's going to be a day that you're going to be out in public and someone is going to set the table, and you're going to fire all your guns. You're going to empty all the chambers because what's in your heart is going to come out because the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And he said, and look at you. You're right now sabotaging him. You're slandering him in your mind. The very thing you're accusing him of doing, you are now doing. You are beginning to morph into him. And it so scared me. I said, no way, I don't want to become like him. And the Lord said, then you must forgive because forgiveness stops the morph. Forgiveness stops that mutation and the twisting of your character because indeed you are taking on the very character of your offender. And boy, it was just a wake-up call to me. You see, your life begins to drain from a past offense, and forgiveness stops that drain and restores life to you. And you don't want to become like your offender, like Absalom and Amnon. You want to become more like Jesus. And so what Jesus did was he paid the highest price of all. That on the cross, when they were nailing him there, and the Bible says, and they were hurling abuse at Jesus. The Lord looked down at him, knowing that he had to fulfill redemption's plan and could not in any way diminish or dilute that. He had to fully come to the proclaiming of the good news that right in the middle, Jesus paused and said, Father, what? Forgive them. You understand? Why? For them? Well, more for him. Because he had to fulfill the plan that God had for him. And as soon as he would hold something against them, then he would be not a sinless sacrifice anymore. He understood the power of forgiveness that kept him free from their mistakes. And he gave forgiveness before it was even requested. Amazing. Let me ask you as we close, who is it that you need to deliver forgiveness to? Oh, not just for them, more so for you, because your life has been draining. And isn't it time to stop the drain so life can be restored to you? Isn't it time for you to cut that tether line to the past so that you can be all God wants you to be? How much do you want God's best in the other areas of your life? A lot? Then we must understand the non-negotiability of forgiveness. And when that happens, you will have received one of the most precious gifts you will have ever received. Who is it? It may take a phone call. It may be painful to talk to that person or note or just in your heart. But whatever way, you got to get the hook out because keeping it in is not an option. But when you do and you give forgiveness, your life transforms and you become less like your offenders, more like Jesus.
I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy you have for me. life to you. I entrust my life to you. I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy.
Just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Absalom, A Case of Unforgiveness by Pastor Wayne Cordero.
I entrust my life to you.
Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.